Hello, everybody. This is Doug Newsom, the Cosmic Poet. Welcome to Thursday evening show. I look forward to reading you some pretty wonderful poetry today. Boy, every time I go back to that website, I'm amazed the talent that is out there. There's just a few people posting. We have a few people in particular that have writing skills far beyond myself. And believe me, that's, to me, when I get the pleasure of saying that, I'm tickled pink. It's kind of like when you're playing a game and you see somebody that's capable of beating you at that game. Doesn't that just excite you when you can never win? When you can never win the game. So you always continue playing. And why? Because there's something to look forward to. The actual winning of that game. Well, most people, they cheat to win. Not most people, we all have at one point or another. But that's the saddest thing. Because when really the goal for us all is to be out there to play the game against the best there is, see where we stand on in our own minds, because really if we're cheating, we're just fooling ourselves, and trying to win that game. So in the same with poetry or writing, whenever I see somebody out there that does a better job than me, not only will I tip my hat, I'll probably bow, smile, wink, and applaud. So please, folks, if you have poetry or prose or something beautiful to write upon, post it to authorsinkwell.com. That's a blogging service and BBS radio. It's authors, like in an author, inkwell.com, one word. Today, sadly, we cannot take call-ins. Boy, I wish we could. Poetry is best read by the people that actually do the writing of it, because their thoughts and emotions flow through the words as they were inspired. And I can never do them as much justice as the actual author of the poems themselves. So I'm kind of a little bit saddened that I won't be able to hear anybody today. We're working on our equipment. We've been working very, very long hours. Believe me, folks, everybody in this room works from the morning they get up to the moment they go to bed. And it's just 7 days a week. We enjoy it. We love what we do, but it's been quite an expansion, quite a change moving from one area of the country to the other. And there's still a lot to do. But on a lighter note, all of the archives are done. I'm excited to tell you, and you all got to go out there to all the various radio show hosts and listen to their radio archive broadcasts, or I'm going to come out there, I'm going to find you. I'm going to put a headphone set on you, and I'm going to make you listen. So a lot of hard work went into this. So go check out the archives to all the wonderful hosts on BBS Radio. I am going to start with a poem written by a man by the name of Derek. And Derek, if you're listening, one of the biggest bows I've ever given. Your writing is just simply astounding. I've read all of your works. There's so many ways that you're able to use your words that complement the prior word. I'm amazed, and I'm going to read one of his works to you now, and it's called Letter of Admiration. These crumpled poems, Samba and Sol's in your forever slapdash, along with squinty eyes. Let me read. I better read this a little bit slower, because really you're going to get the full essence of it if you were to read it yourself, and this poem really does deserve a little bit slower of a passage. These crumpled poems, Samba and Salsa, in your forever slapdash, along with squinty eyes. Clapping oak tree branches, dandelion spirits. I hide in my skin when you address the winter and sigh relief when you breach summer's sticky haze. Spinning bird gods dance their heels into calluses for you. For who else mops the dust bunnies of worlds past? Of all the artists who sculpt the mountain's proud rock, you are the most subtle and patient. Your ocean is one in which fish flop and birds swim. Children dance, revere for your parlor tricks and your playfulness. Leave my hair alone. I'm not fooled by what seems innocent or mystified by your simplicity. If something is given, it must be taken back. Take up these wilting orchards and esquire them to the mountains to ferment, whisk my styrofoam soul to Europa's moonwater calm. Set the pages of this yellowed novel in motion, a fluttering butterfly. But I know as you push the child summer sailboat, bobbing its cherry underside in the mountain waters, that it could be an ocean liner, its gargoyle steel bottom bobbing, belly full with your admirers, and they are flung about just as effortlessly. I wonder if anybody knows what that poem is written upon. To me, it was very, very well done. It's like a man would come out of almost a dream state, a melancholy of wonder about wind and what it does to us and everything about us. As a matter of fact, it should be entitled Admiration to the Author, because Derek, that was just simply beautiful. Derek's actually posted quite a number of works on Authors Inkwell, and I encourage you all to read them. This is a poem written by my mother, Hildy Newsom, for goodness sakes. She is, imagine this, folks, she's in her mid-70s. She is about 4'11". She's an Austrian, so her language skills aren't as good as maybe people that were born here, but she tries, and she's one of the most wonderful women in the world. Mom, my hat's off. Here's a little poem she wrote entitled Little Monsters. 2 years old and acting like monsters, trying to tear each other apart. Each toy used as a weapon to hit and hit each other very hard. So I try to step in between to stop them from getting hurt in this battle. But lo and behold, they turn on me, forgetting their own little struggle to settle. The punishment I had in mind, which was to separate them for a while, turned toys into flying objects directed at me, and I had to smile. As young as they were, they stuck up for each other like glue. And in their innocence, I found it actually admirable, and could not punish them as I'd set out to do. As time went on, I realized punishment, even for a little while, would not bring peace. But talking to them of loving each other and being there for each other eventually struck a chord beneath. This little monsters have grown up to be men, and I could not be more proud than I am of them. Thank you, Mom, for writing that poem and posting it. I love that. Matter of fact, that brings back so many memories, it's hard to tell you all, folks. When you grow up with a twin brother, I probably read that poem last week. I'll read it every day until I die. Mom, I simply love that. Thank you. This poem is entitled Ascension Madness by Judith Bailey. Thank you, Judith. Short but sweet. There is so much to learn, to do, to be. We are filled with joy. Our fears swirl with and into light. Provides form without shadow, no form. Fears, real and supposed, are stimulators to the comfortable orb that is self, dancing into stars. Judith, thank you very much for that poem. Once again, folks, you can post your works, your prose, anything that tickles your fancy on authorsinkwell.com. Now, like I said last week, since this is my show, I am going to talk about other things that are not just related to poetry, but related to beauty. And I think poetry is beauty, and the things I'm going to talk about on a more spiritual side are also beautiful, and in their way, poetic. I wish a couple of the people I know, such as Chris Moores and Fred, Dr. Bell, could phone in. They are wonderful inspirations. Eva Hare, some of the Robbie Thomas, some of the co-hosts that I've had the pleasure of speaking to at length about many things. They write about many things that always lead me to new inspiration and new thoughts. And I try as I might. I wish I could relay them all, but I can't. But sometimes when I work, I write these things down and deliver them to you folks in the daily trials. This is a daily trial. The daily trials are just messages that are written every day. Well, not every day. I wish they were written every day. I've been fairly busy of late, but they're posted on bloginservice.com. Under a daily trial button, you just go over to the left, you see the navigation bar, you'll see daily trials. Push a button there, and it'll take you to these daily trials. And I really encourage you all to read them, at least one a day. If there isn't a new one posted, go back and read one of the old ones. They really will inspire you for the day, take you on a journey of happiness and peace. And that's what we're really trying to do here at Blog In Service and BBS Radio, is really help the world find compassion, love, and peace. This is a daily trial, and it goes as follows. And the reason I wrote this, folks, is because in many ways I find that we don't ask ourselves enough questions and we don't take things deep enough. And one of the things we don't take deep enough is the question of life. What is life? Is it anything that requires food, the sun, or planets, and or animals? Is it anything with a brain? Anything that can travel? Anything more complex than an element? Would a hydrogen molecule be considered alive? What does having life ultimately mean? Is one life more precious than another? Who decides? Assume there are beings many times more powerful than us, and to them we appear as ants. Does our life have less significance than theirs? Why? Because they can accomplish more in less time? What ultimately defines our value? How much we accomplish? What is life? That, just like what, you need to ask yourself that question. What is life, folks? Now, I know I read that daily trial in the couple weeks past on my first show, and I read it again because I really want people to start asking themselves some deeper questions. That doesn't seem like a very deep question, does it? But it's the foundation and the basis for a whole lot of belief systems, folks. What is life? What is life? Would something inanimate be considered alive? How about somebody smoking a cigar, is a cigar alive? Have you ever thought to question? I would encourage everybody to try to find the answer to that question, because it'll steer you on a course that you might find will lead to many more doors, and you will change. You will change because the answers are very, very profound. You just have to ask yourself. Okay. This is another daily trial, and I wrote this daily trial because of a gentleman by the name of Chris Moores. Chris is, like I said on last week's show, a brilliant, wonderful, compassionate human being. And thinking of him, I wrote this daily trial. Like the sounds of great music, Beethoven, or the displays of great works of art, Picasso, or inspiring words of wisdom, Gandhi, or themes of great movies, Rocky, or the realization of the impossible, breaking the 4-minute mile, or the enrapture of love. All these experiences have at their heart a message, a vibration, a frequency that lifts up the human spirit to moments of higher actualization. We are moved by these messages. They open up our doors to new realities. They whisper, you can go farther, be anything, think differently, and have the freedom to get there. Freedom encapsulates everything the human spirit desires, the unlimited opportunity to explore itself, go further, add more, live in a bigger way. The opposite of freedom is oppression, which may be an idea, a reality, an understanding, a rule, or a situation that has at its very essence a restriction, a limitation, a boundary to furtherance, a boundary to something more. We want to go another step, another mile, another level, to another understanding, to another point, to another dimension, to another venue, to another version of what is possible, to something more, to anything, in any direction. That is the point. Oppression is any restriction on you. God's natural way of expression is shown to you unlimitedly. It's freedom. It's also yours. Now I would like to read you something that I read online. And one of my favorite poets, she has written a few very, very, very wonderfully, surprisingly beautiful poems. And she remarked once, her name is Dr. Valerie, and Dr. Valerie remarked once that it's been a long time since she'd written a poem. And yet she writes these poems effortlessly and in very little time. I'm always amazed when I read her works, and I hope she continues to post more. This poem is entitled, It Is Me. Why is it always me that has to take the higher road? It started as a child, always being told, grow up, act your age, they would scold. What age is that, I wonder now, to be old at 3 or 4 somehow? To look through the eyes of elder spirit, though body fresh and yet untrampled? Why is it always me that has to take the higher road? When playing house and doctor, nurse, and cowboys, Indians, and store clerk, to always have the answer and to be the one in charge, to be honorable, trustworthy, large, the serious one must be steady and grounded so that those in fear find and hold a hand. Why is it always me that has to take the higher road? Playing house for real, being maid and babysitter, really little more than a convenient servant. Here, have a $2 transistor radio for all your excellent efforts, and don't talk back. We don't care about your truth. What happens when you raise 2 children before you are grown, and yet are told you are only a child when asking a rational question? Why is it always me that has to take the higher road? How can one hold on to the heart and keep it from harm when it is ripped and trampled and displayed as an example of wrong? To be tugged forth and back, first loved and then reviled. To be then attacked from the other side and find no safe harbor at home. Why is it always me that has to take the higher road? What does not kill us makes us stronger. Adversity builds character. I am strong enough and enough of a character now. Rise and defend those who are weaker. Place oneself as a shield to protect those who snivel in fear and who would never rise to protect anyone but themselves. Why is it always me that has to take the higher road? Battered and broken, unappreciated and scarred from the selfish attack of those who would escape retribution, knocked to the side of the road, gasping for breath, maybe for the last time, ignored by those who would sacrifice was about, their backs turned and faces averted. Maybe if they don't see, they won't have to help. They will not see the hero has fallen. Oh, woe is me. Why is it always me that has to take the higher road? Dragging the broken body into the cave, heaving the heavy stone across the entrance, and growling at any who come to offer help. Help meant to take, not give, I see now. After a while, silence reigns, and then a breath of wholeness is taken, and another, as a magnificent light obliterates pain, and the battered one rises again. Woe, it is me that has to take the higher road, scanning the past, learning to live now, and surrender the future to the higher self. Who was I to know this path led to such bliss? Who would have thought such pain was a test? Head high, garments new, body healed, through and through, pain released, all forgiven, heart shining with love. Now I am ready for that path from above. It is me that has to take the higher road. I set out to take it so long ago. The trial and tribulations and glory run together to create karma to guide me every step of the journey. The road has been long and so hard, I thought. And now I can see over the close mountain a glorious destination, or rather, the next glorious step towards the next part of the journey, the next awesome crest. It is me. Very, very wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Valerie. I wish Dr. Valerie was here to read that poem to you all. And I hope that next week we can have these phone lines and call-in centers capable of taking call-ins, because I'm more impressed by hearing it from the author, because it comes from their own words and their own heart. But until then, I will continue to do my best and mutter and stutter through as many of these poems as I can get to, and I hope you're all enjoying it. This is a particular poem I wrote. Oh, gosh, I must have been 24 years old. It was a foray into a very dark arena. A dark arena, by that I mean oil. And it was a very dark arena for my twin brother and I. We got into an industry when we knew nothing about it and proceeded to plunge headlong into it. And we never could get out of it. It took almost a decade, but we finally found our way out. And believe it or not, folks, we didn't even have a suitcase to carry on our travels. It's called Oil Pay. Made an acquisition on land with multi-pay, on domes of salt where people think no oil exists today. No money down, I made my buy, a development prospect. No lime, no chalk, just sands to drill and payouts to collect. No fracturing will need be done. No seismic activity. Just undeveloped proved reserves, a flowing longevity. So I proceeded on location between two abandoned wells. A stratigraphic certainty from old logs, they this can tell. And at last I'd found my target, up dip from all the rest. So I started drilling in that spot. And missed. So you can see that after 23 wells and 23 failures, that was kind of the poem that I can't even believe that I actually didn't have the mind to be in the business after I wrote this poem, but I stuck it out for another 6 years with my brother, and we just continued to get worse from there. Just a second, folks. Ah, my brother's going to monkey around with the phone lines. I'm going to be off the air, folks. See you in a bit. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.